Hello, and welcome to Business Talk. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS. And I'd like to introduce the host of this week's episode. He's the editor of Business West. Here's Joe Bednar.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Business Talk. We have a great show for you today. Our guest is Tara Brewster. She's the Vice President of Business Development and the Director of Philanthropy at Greenfield Savings Bank. I'm so excited to have you here today. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here.
So before we dive into your really intriguing career path, and at the risk of making you sound incredibly lazy, I heard you spent an entire day in bed recently.
I did. Oh, my God. I'm still tired from it. I'm drinking my Gatorade right now because I'm trying to prop myself up. It's tiring to lay in bed for 11 hours.
Tell us all about that. That's such a cool event.
Oh, my God, it is. It truly, truly is. And really, you know, the origin story starts with Monty Belmonte, who everyone knows from his start in radio at the River. And now he's currently at NEPM. But when he made the transition from the River to NEPM, which is, Saga and RSI, I think NEPM was like, okay, you know, you can't be doing all these nonprofit fundraisers anymore. That's what we need you for. We need you to be our nonprofit fundraiser. So luckily he's still doing the march for the food bank, but he turned to me and said, TB, I have an event for you and I want you to take it over. And so last year was the first year of Tara Brewster version of the Bed In, but it originated in 2006 when Monty was doing the Camp Out for Cancer Connection on the courthouse lawn in downtown Northampton. And so that was a really beloved, awesome event that would encompass a few days of everybody pitching tents and camping out on the courthouse lawn in downtown. And then COVID came and he did 2 years of a bed in. One was at the hotel, one was at his house. And then he passed the torch to me. And luckily, when he passed it, I emailed the president of the bank right away and I said, I really, really want to say yes to this, but I'm not doing it out of my house. And so my other house, my more public house, is the place that I work, Greenfield Savings Bank. And I said, so if I say yes to this, will you support it? Can we do it from a bank branch? And instantly, Tom was like, yeah, we can. And I totally thought that they would say no, but they said yes. And so last year was in Hadley, at the Hadley branch. And then this year was at King Street, our newly renovated King Street location. And it was 1,000 times better because the place is maybe 4 times as big as our Hadley branch. So recently renovated, beautiful, lots of free parking, really good acoustics for all the musicians that played. It was great.
And it's still a fundraiser for Cancer Connection, right?
That's right. Yep. Yeah. So far we've raised $45,000 this year. And usually we get more donations in as the month goes on. So probably by the end of the month, we'll be at around 50.
So Tara, I've talked to you many times over the years. In fact, we first met when you were selected to our 40 under 40 class of 2009, I believe. At the time you co-owned a men's clothing store called Jackson and Connor. Before that, in high school, you once told us for a story, you wanted to be a pediatrician. So tell me about your winding career path and sort of how it led you to your work today.
Oh, you know, there's this quote that says, we thank God for the good things that happen to us and forget to thank God for the bad things that happen to us. And, you know, I'm almost 45. I'll be 45 in June. And I have to say that I can't take away the bad things that happen to me without, you know, altering the entire course of where I'm at. And, you know, the more people I talk to, the more it seems like maybe my path isn't so odd or irregular, but, you know, definitely growing up in Florence and having my mom get sick with stage 4 ovarian cancer entirely reshaped my universe and my world and where I am today. You know, so many things wouldn't have happened if my mom hadn't have died when I was still in high school. And so, you know, working at the men's clothing store in high school was definitely because of her passing. A friend took me up to the backstop for a massage and there was a help wanted ad there. And so that's how I started on my men's path, my men's clothing career path. And it really encompassed so many years. I mean, I started when I was 17 and we opened the store when I was 27. And then we sold it, you know, when I was 34, maybe, you know, and Will is still a really good friend of mine. But even the men's clothing store, Mark Romoli, who's the senior vice president of commercial lending at Greenfield Savings Bank, gave me the loan for that business. And so I wouldn't even be at Greenfield Savings Bank right now if it wasn't for Jackson and Connor.
Wow.
So it's really this amazing like Jenga puzzle of life. It's like you can't take one thing away without just all of it unraveling.
I've always felt like this. I look back at my own life and it's like a little tiny moment somewhere that if that hadn't happened, none of this would have happened. It really, I think a lot of people, that's true for a lot of people. And it's really cool to look back on those connections and the network of things that had to happen to kind of everything to fall into place and, you know, be the right thing.
Totally.
So how long have you been with Greenfield Savings?
Almost 8 years.
Wow. Okay.
It's crazy, Joe. I say all the time, and they haven't fired me yet. And people look at me like, wow, like, why would they fire you? And I'm like, because I'm a total square peg in a round hole. I don't know. I mean, I can vividly remember coming to work my first week or second week. And we got our paycheck, I got a couple paychecks. And I was so unused to getting regular paychecks, first of all. And then second, having them be the same amount every time and getting benefits. Oh my God. People were like, what is wrong with you? I was like, guys, every 2 weeks we get paid the same amount. It's like, they were like, oh my God, where did you come from? But I had been rogue for, you know, a decade. So, you know, I wasn't used to getting paid every week. You know, we took money when we could. You know, there was obviously when you're an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, small business owner, you know, sometimes you don't get a paycheck and sometimes, you know, you can't afford this or that. So, yeah, it's been nice to be at a larger corporation where you have things like regular paychecks and benefits.
Your title encompasses business development and philanthropy. So what are some of your specific roles in those areas? What is your day-to-day like?
No 2 days are the same. I think that's why as a recovering entrepreneur, I've been able to hang on for almost 8 years at a locally run mutual bank in our community. But under the vice president of business development role, I am externally facing. I am out in the community. I am a community liaison for both external and internal conversations that happen. For me, since I took the job at the end of 2016, I've always looked at this role as being a conduit of good for other. And so I have felt as though if I can focus on the other, then what the bank needs to have happen for us to continue to be successful and for what I need to have happen for me to keep my job at the bank will happen altruistically and karmically. And so it's this continuum of good work, of good energy that just cycles, you know, like if I'm doing good for someone else, like I know that will come back to us in the ways that we need to have it happen in deposits and loans and mortgages, wealth management, things like that. So it really is a blessed role for me, but it really is never ending, you know, because relationship development is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And, you know, once you know one person, then, you know, 50 people, and once you know 50 people, you know, 500 people. And so my network increases, but like my capacity doesn't, right? Like I'm only one person and I'm like, I have to manage all these relationships all the time. And I love all of you. And so that's exhausting, but I love it. And then for the director of philanthropy role, it's supposed to be a rotating role at the bank, but I really love it and it really jives with the work that I do. So this is my second year of doing it. It encompasses $1 million budget, which we give out externally every year to about 350 organizations. And that money is small. Most of our donations, support, sponsorship comes in at around $1,000 maybe. We get asks as small as $50. we get asks as large as, you know, $150,000. But we really focus on the smaller nonprofits, the smaller amounts of money that really keep things moving and the wheels greased for our community.
You're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West. We're talking today with Tara Brewster. She's the Vice President of Business Development and the Director of Philanthropy at Greenfield Savings Bank. So the event will obviously be over by the time folks listen to this podcast. But as we're speaking, I'm getting ready to MC Business West Difference Makers event tonight, which is a huge honor. And I'm always a little nervous up there, but I love doing it. You were on that stage 2 years ago, accepting a Difference Makers honor for the very impactful work that you do in the community. So tell me about some of the organizations you support through your volunteer service and why they're important to you.
Yeah. Currently, I'm on the board of the Double Edge Theater in Ashfield. They're an amazing 43-year-old performing arts nonprofit. The work that they do is really embedded in in storytelling, and also in lifting up different peoples, minorities, cultures, just have a deep awareness of self and other. And the other group that I'm involved with is the Downtown Northampton Association. The DNA works very hard to enrich and support the Downtown Northampton community, which over the past few years, especially since the pandemic, it's been really dealt some serious blows down there between not having the Iron Horse and the Calvin and Pearl Street. Ticketed events really are a reason for people to come down to a place and eat and shop and do all the things. And so not having those three epicenters have really sort of brought Northampton to a very humbling place. So I'm doing a lot of work and intentionality around Downtown Northampton. I recently joined the Community Foundation Board, which I am so proud of. I keep saying that it's my first big girl board. I need to come up with a different name for that, or a different acknowledgement for that. But it really does feel different than the other nonprofit boards that I've served on, because it's so regional and really looks at a larger scope of community work, right? It's not just one nonprofit. It's many nonprofits. It's a huge endowment, and it's a lot of weight to kind of carry and hold in terms of who are we helping? What are our strategic priorities? What is, you know, our giving look like? What lenses are we looking through? And so that's been a real learning curve thus far to try to figure out what's going on and get up to speed with the Community Foundation, and not just a county either. I mean, the Community Foundation encompasses three counties, Franklin, Hampshire, and Hampden County. And so I'm excited because it's been a while since I got to hang out in Hampden County. Greenfield Savings Bank doesn't have any branches down there. So every time I cross into Holyoke, my little like collar goes off. It's like, you've gone too far, Brewster. Come back. So it's been really, really nice because in between selling Jackson and Connor and working for Greenfield Savings Bank, I did some work for Tina D'Agostino at City Stage and Symphony Hall, and also for Chris at The Bid for a while. So I really do love downtown Springfield. I'm excited to be there.
You know, you've done so much over the years, and I know you'd rather put the spotlight on those organizations than what you're doing personally. But I was intrigued by something you told our former editor, George O'Brien, a couple of years ago for the Difference Maker profile about a children's book called The Three Questions, which is based on a story by Tolstoy, which asks three questions, which are, when is the best time to do things? Who is the most important one? And what is the right thing to do? And I've typed this out so I can remember it. The answers are, there's only one important time, and that time is now. The most important one is always the one you're with. And the most important thing is to do good for the one who is standing at your side. And at the time you said that pretty much sums up how you live your life and how you stay balanced amid everything that you do. So tell me more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really true. And if you can hold to that, you've got it. you know, you're figuring it out. And I think that's the hard part, is like staying true to that and really being where you are and focusing on what you're doing rather than being somewhere else and letting your mind wander. And I think that the more I think about it, it's really a meditative and a yogic practice as well. You know, yoga for me is really important. And has been, especially in the past year. I kind of stopped running for a little while and just didn't have the energy to put out into doing training or running half marathons or whatever. And so yoga has kind of been my respite, because I just haven't had anything in my tank extra to give. Like the thought of running a half just like tired me out before I even laced up my shoes to do it. So I was like, all right, I can't do this anymore. But going to the yoga classes and being on your mat, it's a constant bringing back of your mind, like to the room, to where you are. You know, not only is it a practice of being with yourself and breathing and clearing your mind, but it's coming back. It's very meditative and thoughtful. And so, you know, for me, I think in a day, I try so hard to just do the thing that I'm doing and focus on whoever I'm doing the thing with. It's hard. I mean, it's so hard, because in this culture that we live in, we have the screens, the phones, the multi-screens at work, at the desktop, and the iPads, and the people that you're in front of, the appointments on your calendar. It's just too much for us. I think our brains are all starting to get like super fried from it. So I think we do need to return to a more simple way of being, way of focusing, way of working, way of living that will give us all a lot more strength and intentionality than we have currently.
Are there other things that you do for fun or relaxation? Or is there no time for that, which is possible with you?
Fun and relaxation. Yeah, I don't know. I really enjoy being with people. I think if I didn't have this role, I wouldn't like this role if I didn't like people and being out and about. Events are amazing for me. I do get a lot of energy, and I will be at the Difference Makers event tonight. I'm actually going with my husband and sitting at Amy Royal's table. She and I go way back. We were both Smithies, although we didn't know each other then, but it'll be good to see her and good to see a lot of friends. I mean, it's super energizing if you can cut it when it starts to get not, you know what I mean? It's like with anything, moderation is key. But yeah, I have two kids, 8 and 10, and they keep me super busy. And I get to do a lot of fun things with them, and live life a little bit through their eyes. So, you know, between the work stuff and the kids stuff, I'm just trying to keep up with my shadow every day, Joe.
Before I go, I do want to mention one thing. Recently you had me on the Western Mass Business Show, which is the radio show and podcast you do for WHMP. And I so appreciated that. It was fun to kind of talk about myself, because I don't usually get interviewed. So it was fun. It was different. So how did you get involved in that, and what kind of experience has it been for you to interact with the business community that way?
Yeah, Ira Brick actually just sent me a picture 2 days ago of his Facebook memory that reminded him that 3 years ago this week, he handed the business show over to me. So it was a gift from Ira Brick. He had started it about, 10 years ago now. He handed it off to me 7 years, so that 7 + 3 = 10. Good math. But I love him so much. I love Ira Brick. We first met when he was running the Family Business Center at UMass. And I saw that he was having Jack Mitchell come from Mitchell's, Richards, and Marsh's. I have to really pull back from my men's clothing days. So Mitchell's is an iconic men's clothing store in Connecticut. And Jack Mitchell is like just so well known in the menswear industry. And he was having Jack come and talk about his book, Hug Your Customers. And so I weaseled my way into the meeting, because obviously it's only supposed to be for Family Business Center clients, because you know, that's one of the perks of being in the Family Business Center membership. Anyway, so since then we became fast friends, and he just wanted to be done with that part of his life and didn't want to see it go away, and asked me if I wanted to do it and if I would take the mic over from him. And I can't believe it's already been 3 years. It's absolutely crazy. And to answer your second question, it's such a lovely medium to connect with people on. I mean, you know, Joe, this is the work that I do. Like, all day long, I have conversations with people, and it's not about me, it's about them. And finding out what their needs are, what their pain points are, how I can help them, who they need to get connected to. And, you know, if this radio show is anything, it's a microcosm for my daily life. But the thing that stresses me out most about the podcast is that it's recorded. You know, all my conversations throughout the day, I can say whatever I want, and most people aren't recording it. And I'm like, okay. So I really have to prepare and think about it. I mean, you must have the same thing with your
very much. Show. Yeah, very much.
Yeah, it's like a thing, you know, it's like a labor of love to like actually research somebody and come up with your questions in advance and have your talking points and not seem like you're a complete idiot when you're talking to somebody, you know.
That's my goal most days, is not to seem like too much.
Yeah, it's like, can I make it through the day without someone thinking I'm a total idiot? That's great.
Well, as somebody who makes his living telling other people's stories and finds a lot of satisfaction in that, I think it's really cool that you do that, and along with everything else that you do. So I think it's great to elevate local businesses and who are really the lifeblood of this region, and be able to share their stories too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not to knock print, because I love print. I love my papers. I read all the papers all the time. Like, I get all the subscriptions. But I just love the medium of radio. Yeah. It's something easy about it. You know, you could do other things while you're listening. Supports our multitasking culture, I guess. But yeah, it's great.
And that is all the time we have for today. So thank you so much for coming and spending a few minutes with me. I always appreciate being able to talk to you.
Oh, gosh, Joe, it's my pleasure. And good luck tonight. I can't wait to cheer you on from Amy Royal's table.
And thanks to all of you for tuning into Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West. I'm Joe Bednar, the editor of Business West, and we'll see you next time.